Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Yikes. That's a banger. Good. I'm phenomenal, Alan. Phenomenal. Happy to be here. I'm actually not going to this entire episode just for Jason Whedon's episode. So I normally clock in at about 500 an episode. I'm going to do none this episode, so wish me luck.
It's just going to be all me then. That's a worry. Big shout out to Picanti for the intro. He obviously made a condensed version of us to be able to use. That went right over my head because I have like four people on Instagram. So I just rely on whatever you share on the Throwlers thing. But you sent that through, and we're going to have to reach out to him to get the actual clip. I think that might be our new intro. It's dope.
It is. It's very dope. Very dope. Well done. It's a banger. I'll maybe be listening to that as I roll into Quarry Hill every day this weekend.
Love that. And it's unsurprising that someone has come up with something that is better than the shit that I made on GarageBand 3 years ago.
I'm shocked.
I can't believe it's taken this long.
Yeah.
How's your week been, mate?
Short week. Obviously, public holiday, Monday, at work yesterday, today, and tomorrow, straight into Vic Open. Chill. Just keen to get up there. Looks like there might be a bit of rain about, though.
Not excited about that. Definitely not excited about that. Friday's almost certainly going to be rain. Saturday might miss our tee times, but yeah, bit sad, but we won't worry about that just yet. It's been a good week for me. Still off work, which is very, very nice. So I've been doing stuff all. I just finished watching the first round of Melbourne Celebrates from 2 years ago, I think. last year in like August or something like that. And it's good. I'm enjoying it. I forgot. That's cool. I didn't forget, but it was good to be reminded how fun that Bundoora course was. So I'm really keen to hopefully get back out there again this year. I know Kalen is working very hard, but the council has been difficult. So, but he's working on it, and we're not too far off solidifying everything, I think. So that'll be very exciting. And check out the parked coverage. Rainy first round. So hopefully round two cleared up. I wasn't there that day, so I don't know.
I missed out last year, so I look forward to getting another chance, if possible, Kalen.
It's been a big park day, too, because earlier today I checked in on Park's live drawing to be on Parked for round one of the Vic Open on Friday.
Any shenanigans?
It's completely obvious that it was rigged. I just don't know how I don't find my way onto that feature card. It's... I couldn't think of any other thing than it must be rigged. So they've done some pretty good video editing there, and they've got the four people they want and four good ones. So headlined Tanya Behan steps in. She's going to be big. She needs a camera in front of her. She's one to watch. So that's great. I saw her name. I was like, oh, cool. I'll have to reach out to Tan and we'll coordinate our outfits and we'll be looking great. But my name never came.
Oh, no.
Who else did we get? We got Lee Joy was on there, and Anita Weber, and who am I blanking for? Ryan Nicholson. So, should be a very good card. Super cool thing that they've done, I think. I thought that was a great idea. They needed to fundraise a little bit of money, and I think that's a sick way to do it. And it'd be fun watching those guys out there. So, good on them.
A good spread of states.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So it should be good for the Park Media listener base.
Yeah, there you go. So fun times. That'll be good Friday. I'll be watching them come in with a cold bevy in my hand, I'm sure. We'll jump right into the Llewellyn social day because we've got a bit to go on about. You've done a fair deep dive into some rating stuff. And I don't know. We always just assume that no one listening likes it, but I think there'll be some people that will. I'm fascinated. I think we've stumbled onto something cool. This is some information that I'm glad you've looked into. And I think the conclusions might shape a little bit about how some of the tournaments are run from here on out. But we shall see. We might be getting ahead of ourselves.
Now, we're big influencers in this game, Alan. There's no doubt about that. So I will be surprised if it does not have a lasting impact on the entire state of disc golf within this country.
I love it. This is the most research we've ever done for any pod. So, I hope it's impactful.
So you mean 5 minutes of research?
Exactly. But yeah, we did have a social day on the weekend. It was down in Llewellyn, and I snuck out for it. It was a beautiful day. I really enjoyed playing that course. They've got, what did they do? They had a couple changes, I think, because they're trying to solidify where they're going to start putting in the tee pads. I think they have or will soon have the go-ahead for about three of the tee pads. And we'll be working from there. So it's going to be, like, they want it to be able to be mowable and sort of blend in or something. So I think it's going to be some sort of setup with the, like, rubber mats with the holes in it and then, like, a Lilydale topping or some other, you know, rock on it to flatten down and get solid. So I'm very excited for that. And the course, I always enjoy playing out at Llewellyn. I think that course plays fun. So, yeah, should be good. Do you have the stuff from Alex in front of you?
I forgot
to get that up with the divisions.
I'll start down at the No Metrics rating. We had Matt Gosney and none other than Lenny Angangangaring and Anichi Hosni competing in the No Metrics rating. And Matt Gosney took that out with a +9. Jumping straight into Div C, we have someone not only under the card, we have someone who's managed to pull out a -3, 7 strokes clear of the next best. Ross Davies with a big -3, absolutely smoking the field. Matt Mutter with a +4 and Cameron Robinson with the other +4 to take out the podium there.
Yeah, he was on my card, Ross, and he was just having a good day. He was having a very good day. He was throwing well, was putting well, and just doing what he needed to do. We started on hole 6, I think, maybe. And he just went bang with a birdie, followed up bang with another birdie, and just off from there. So that was cool to see.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Div B, we've got a few people under the card. 3 players managed to go under the card in Div B. Zolt with a -2, Max Tats with a -2, but all outshone by none other than our mate, Al Don, with a nice -5 with a couple of bogeys in there. So, and another OB. So 7 birdies. Al Don takes it out with a -5. You also had Marcus Davies with an even and Buckets Farina also with an even.
I don't feel very comfortable with Al Don being in Div B. That doesn't sit very well for mine. Right? Am I off base there? MA40 national champion, pretty recent and all round pretty good golfer. Like, has he fallen into the sub-890 category? I don't believe that to be true.
Currently 881.
Wow, okay.
I'll just have a quick click of his name to see what that round did to it. Currently 886. So still will be in Div B.
All right, yeah, that's uncomfortable for mine. But he is where he is, so he must have earned his way there. We just won't go too much of a deep dive into history. But well done, showing a bit of the class there, Big Al.
We'll have to keep a memory, keep it in our memory bank for Throttle's Guarantee, the Marcus Davies score that I just
shared. Well, we can look at it now if you want. We're right here. Okay. Yeah, we can check in on that.
So, checking in on the Guarantee, remind me, Alan, what did we set the line at? What were we up against here?
So, I wanted you to make Mike Spangenberg the favorite, and you didn't. You didn't fall for that. You had Marcus Davies, the now 11-year-old, the favorite over 50-something-year-old Spangers. And you said that he was a 1.5-stroke favorite. So I needed Marcus Davies to beat Spangers by 2 strokes. And almost immediately, he was up by 2 strokes. And it pretty much held that way for most of the round. Every time I checked, it seemed to be. But it was a bit of a birdie, bogey, flip-flop. But every time I looked at the scores personally, it was basically Marcus Davies 1 under and Spangers 1 over. And it made for a very interesting round because I was just on edge. And I did not tell the young fella. His old man knew. And right before the round, he's like, should we tell Marky what's going on here? And I was like, no, just leave him be. I don't, like, he's 11. His mental game could be solid, but it probably isn't. You know what I mean? Let's not add anything on to that. So we kept it pretty chill. And it came down to, which hole was it? Maybe hole 5 or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle of the front nine, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of the little sort of dinker hyzer holes. Like, I threw like a zone hyzer from the from the fence line over to where the oval is. And it's on that basket that's a little precarious. It's sort of perched almost on a bit of a hill. Anyway, Marky and I both put it close. And I was like, job done. I went straight to his dad. I was like, yep, we're good here. We're good here. It's our second last hole. He knocks in this like 4 meter putt. And then we par the next one. And I'm home, mate. Because I think we were a couple of holes behind where Spangers was. And he's like, oh, good, good, good. Exciting. Anyway, I dink my 4 meter putt. Just cage it. And then I guess he's like, oh, that must be what you do. Cages his. I was like, oh no. And his dad's like Ross is ready to tear, not tear him a new one, but he was like about to let him know he's let me down. And I said, no, like, he can't. I've missed the putt too. He can't be going at it. Anyway, we had one hole left. It's the one where you play from the far side of the oval and you got to throw over all the crap, or you got to throw like a hyzer, a forehand hyzer. Anyway, he's thrown something. It's gone long and right, but he had a look. Like, he had a good C2 look. I pulled the phone out to record just in case so that I could chuck it on Insta and have a little Nelson, Milhouse heartbreak moment for you.
Yeah.
But it was not meant to be. He missed it, and you picked a bloody good line, I must say.
I picked, like, the most elite line ever.
So good.
I got some feedback. Definitely got some feedback. Finnegan was one person that messaged me directly to just say, what a line. So others, I'd like to think others were also following along live, not just looking at the end result and saying, good line, but actually appreciating that line for how good it actually was.
It was never further than one or two strokes the whole day. It was really good. So that was nice. But yeah, he let me down. So I hope he feels bad about himself, Marky. So that goes nothing to me. That was meant to be my one. So yeah. I get 0 points. Your Thrallers Guarantee was also in this division. So you went on Zach, and you thought that he's been pretty hot lately, which he has, and you picked a random name. you said it was a random name, but Josh Quinn, and he's had the worst round of his life. Shit. And you were trying to get a six out of this. You were trying to think it was like a 6-6 matchup. So, yeah, Zach shoots a respectable plus two. That's, you know, keeping his pretty decent form intact. And Josh Quinn shoots a plus 13. 11 strokes worse. Don't know what happened. No.
And absolutely bottoms out the, what's it called? The handicap leaderboard. Yeah. So just plays well and truly. But I assume he listens, and we're absolutely in his head. And
must be.
He shat the bed just to make sure of it. Thanks, Josh. And I'll take those points. I said I needed to get some points.
Yeah, so 4 points goes onto your tally, and that puts you back into the lead. It was a brief, beautiful moment for me, but 29 plus 4 makes 33, and I'm staying on 31. So pretty disappointing there. Pretty disappointing there. But anyway, we got through it.
We did.
In Div A, it was a very slow start from Rubes, from almost everyone. I had a bit of a slow start. I'm looking, and I wasn't getting punched, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then everyone sort of went on a heater, but no one went on a heater like Rubes did. So he got birdies from 10 through to 17, elite. And I think he might have started on, you know, like 6 or 7 or something like that. So, but a lot of pars early. And then went whack through all of it and finished 11 down, which is very nice shooting. 2 strokes clear of Kalen at a -9, myself at -7 with that little dinker that I missed, but still one ahead of Tim Ware, which is it's nice.
That is nice.
That's nice. And you'll see all the way down in the middle, Ryan Deer, which he's still, yeah, don't tip him for the big open.
Okay.
No, I asked him if he's still working on his form. He's like, yeah. And I said something about the Vic Open. And he's like, how do you think people will go? And I said, well, you got to play regular disc golf, or you got to do whatever this shit is. And he's like, no, I'm just going to play. So he might be feeling so good when he actually starts getting some birdies that he might be the dark horse here. But that's 2 social days in a row that he finds himself deep mid-pack of Div A, which is nowhere near where he normally lives. So, yeah, and Brett Zeeble there with the -3. He comes up to me. He must have been listening to it on the way up or something. He's like, oh, thanks for telling Chris to piss off that I'm in Div 8. I was like, I got you, buddy. I got you. But yeah, it was all the Ruben show. I will pot out that there was only one eagle on the day. So a hole 11, long par 4 through the double Mando. And it was actually taken out by none other than me. Let's go. forehand throw in. Pretty good.
From how far?
Oh, I don't know. Wherever like the drive normally lands, like 25 out, 30 out or something.
Cool.
Got through the double Mando, turned it too much, heading towards where all those clump of bushes and crap are, but cut rolls back straight a bit, and a little forehand zone straight in the basket like I meant it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. There was actually some shenanigans going on with the metrics early on. Like something weird happened where we all missed the hole. I thought it was just me a few holes later because I was like, oh shit, I've missed a hole somewhere here. But I did remember when I got the eagle, I looked, there was like three others and I was or two others at the time. I was like, this is bullshit. Like I threw it in from 30. How are these guys just piercing that gap beautifully? But yeah, there was some sort of shenanigans and I think all of the hole 10 birdies got put onto hole 11. So, but yeah, good day. Very good day. What were the handicaps and stuff looking like?
Yeah, I'll have a quick look at that before we must have a look at the leaderboard now as well. We're deep into the season. Ross Davies had a great day and he takes out the handicap with a handicap score of 38.83, followed by Oliver Morley. Unfamiliar. Are you familiar with Oliver?
No, I am not.
He takes out second and then Michael Troiani in third. Closely followed by Kalen and Ruben. You don't often see the Div 8 players that at the tippy top, two in the top five. So that is great shooting by them. But I think it does tell us that maybe Div B and Div C, some players did not have such a day out. And I've already alluded to that down the very bitty bottom, here's Josh Quinn with a handicap score of 58.67. Dolly's down there as well. Robert Higgins and Michael S. Smith. Seeing Michael S. Smith there, I was looking for a Michael Smith versus Michael Smith. We missed the one opportunity it happened, but I'll be keeping a close eye on future social days to see if we get Michael Smith and Michael Smith both there again.
Yeah, that'd be good. I like that.
How would you pronounce the name down the bottom there, that Lenny?
Oh, geez. Okay, now I get why you went with what you went with. Wow. Nah, there's no way I don't have that. Lenny Angriani.
Yeah, Chihosny. Lenny Angriani, Chihosny. I think that's how it's said.
You might have done it all right. I thought you just rattled some shit off. I didn't know what you were looking at. But nice. All right, happy days. Yeah, that was Llewellyn. What do we got next then? Oh, is the tee off thing next?
It certainly is.
Lovely. So you listened to your first ever episode of the tee off, potentially, right?
Quite possibly.
You were starting to listen to it because you knew that they were going to have their takes on the Vic Open MPO situation, right?
I did, yes.
And what did you gather from listening to them were not just their takes, but the pros that they'd spoken to. Who else did they have on the pod? Dill was on the pod. And
Clay Aitzen Beck.
That was pretty funny. Paddy dropped that on him. That was nice. Just to his face. That was good. And then they never even touched on it.
They had to go back to it. They left me hanging. I reckon Clayton had some PR involved. Oh, okay. His manager has reached out to the tee off and said, hey, he's coming on as long as there's no questions about his 888. That's the one caveat for him coming on the tee off. So well done for Clayton for having a manager for starters. Mm. And then kudos to Pat for at least dropping the joke in. Yeah.
So they got four pro players, all of them playing the event, one of them from interstate. And I think they had some feedback that they'd taken from the MPO chat. And what did you sort of make of what they had said?
So it just boiled down to them saying that the MPO did not feel like they were a priority. And if they're not a priority, they're not going to turn up in droves. Fergie pushed back a little bit on that, or just quizzed about what would make it feel like for MPO players, because they kept on talking about their feelings and it just doesn't feel like MPO is a priority? What would make it feel like a priority? And they just kept on saying dollar signs, I think.
Yeah, that's all I could really get out of it too. They said it's not about the money, but yeah, we're not a priority. What would make us a priority? The money. Like, I don't, yeah, that's how it come across to me. If anyone else heard it differently or it come across their desk a little different, but that's all I could get. And like, I've no problem with, like, they pay more money. I have no problem with them wanting more money out of what they get, but it annoys me when they're like, it's not about the money, but like, if we have more money, I would go. Like, I don't know. It just say it's about the money. That's fine. The only thing that that someone did mention, it was Timmy B, had mentioned something about the Crater Lakes Classic, how they had changed the layouts for pros and AMs to separate them into different like ratings pools essentially. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, stuff like that would have a priority feel. And we're going to touch on that in a minute. But I sort of was thinking more today as well that it's not just the MP, like MPO field's down, obviously, and that's the thing that stands out. But the MP40 field's way down. The MA1 field is way down. I didn't really look too much about the others, but normally the higher divisions are the people that travel the most. I say normally because there are a lot of people that play in the protected divisions and some of the lower divisions that also travel a lot. But generally, when you go to a tournament, MA2, MA3, MA4... are full of locals. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of MA1s that were playing last year at the Vic Open and are not this year as well. So it does seem like it is not coming across as a very important event. And it'd be interesting to know what would make an event seem important. So I don't know. I'm a bit of a weird one for it, maybe because we play so much stuff. Like, none of the events that I play feel to me important, whether it be nationals or eruption. Like, the only time I've ever felt like it'd be a big deal is if I'm in contention to like win, but leading up to it and playing it and things like that, it's not, I never am like, oh, this is the one, this is the big event I want to win. So I don't know if that's just a me personal thing, but I don't know. What about you? How do you feel more gravitas or things for Vic Open or eruption or any of that stuff?
Yeah, good question. Obviously, the eruption has now the history is slowly building, and it's also the consistency of the event as well. So when you go to the eruption, you know you're going to get that player's function. You know you're going to get the ring of fire, the throw from the tower. You know you're going to get that player's dinner where we're doing the ace race to win a chance on it. Like, there's a lot of consistency with that. You know you're going to get the announcers. You know you're going to get the big raffles. All of these things, it's just becoming an expectation. You know what you're going to get with the eruption, which just gives it a certain feel. The Oz Open or the champs, whatever you want to call it, the nationals, similarly, you expect the TD, whatever state that might be in, that they're going to pull out all stops. So it's going to be all bells and whistles. You might have a putting comp and things like that. And it just builds to the history of the event. The Vic Open has been around for a number of years. But, you know, one thing that they spoke about on the tee off, and it definitely doesn't exist anymore, was one thing that the Vic Open was known for. Like, and people won't even realize this, but it was known for the brewed beers by Melbourne Disc Golf. And it's things like that that just help give an event a feel. Oh, that's what the Vic Open's about. There's going to be a sick players back. There's probably going to be a stubby holder because you're going to get a beer or six, and away we go. And yeah, I do think some events can create a vibe, a feel. And I don't think Vic Open, particularly in the lead up to this one, I sort of alluded to it in our chat, Alan, that where has the publicity been? Because Bendigo Disc Golf has an Instagram page and it's been going off, it mostly through reshares, admittedly. So people have been tagging Bendigo and it's been resharing. It has like 3 followers. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's it's not reaching the audience. So, yeah, there's been just no promotion, publicity, hype. Where is the hype? The hype definitely has been missing from this Vic Open.
Yeah. No, that's very true. And the Bendigo thing, that Instagram stuff's only been really popping off for like a week or so now. So one thing that I know, like Eruption, they offer, and Champs especially, they'll put out like their contenders. They'll have photos of someone in action and say, you know, this such and such is coming. They're in MP40 and, you know, they've done this and that and they're likely to win because of this reason. They'll have, you know, fly throughs of holes and get hype stuff up. They'll pop on to things like, you know, the tee off or parked meter and talk about the events coming up. Even if we look at the Aussie Masters, this is the following weekend. They went hard on that straight away. And a tournament that came out of nowhere all of a sudden has, you know, a lot of followers on Insta and Facebook or whatever. The old man went on to the parks and started talking about it. They've just been flooding with stuff. They came up with a raffle thing. They got all that stuff out there. Like, everyone knows that's going on and everyone knows what that's about. So, yeah, maybe if we want to make it more important that something... stuff like that has to happen. Like maybe 2 months ago, we needed to see the tee shot from hole three. Like I don't know if this is, you know, this is time, this is effort, this is money, or, you know, people that have the capability of doing this stuff, but how epic would have like one of those drone flight things following someone throwing a drive off a hole three and huge. Just watching that launch down 2 months ago.
Huge.
And it's been like, come check out Bendigo. Like, boom. Big mic drop moment. So, maybe the Vic Open needs a hype team. Social media hype team or something. Maybe that's something you and I need to look into getting more involved in next year. But, yeah, it's one of those things where it was, you know, if we build it, they will come. And everyone always came to the Vic Open. And now there's cost of living. Everything's expensive. Flights are expensive. Accommodation over the weekend is expensive. There's good tournaments everywhere else around the country. You know, why pop down to the Vic Open? It's what makes it any different to, you know, any other tournament. So
I just want to jump on something you just said there. Like, that's maybe something you and I need to look into to get involved in. I don't want to just sit here like on a soapbox and say this could have been done better, that could have been done better. Like, I want it to be heard that, cool, I think this is a little gap that we've noticed and we'll help fill that gap if people want us to and let us.
Yeah. No, yeah. I definitely don't want to be just pointing shit out. Something we could do more of for sure. We don't have much of a listener base, especially interstate, but the social page goes all right. And then, yeah, if we could get access to the other stuff, I'm sure we can come up with some good ideas and start making it more a thing, make it more exciting. So hopefully we'll look at doing more of that stuff next year. All right, we'll have a look at the rating stuff. So this happened
before we do that, do we want to touch on the caddy book that's about to be released?
Go for it now.
So an email's about to come out. The tee times have been announced, so if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have already possibly seen this email, or you possibly have already seen the tee times. If you haven't, they have been announced. But I do have some insight there. We're paying out 40% of the field, and we're paying out 102% of the net entry fees. These are higher than what is required by the ADG for a major, and is in line with what is recommended by the ADG for champs.
I never really thought about this, but they had the chance to do the funniest thing. Imagine they just paid out 200%.
That would have been so good. I was half thinking, like, if I was made of money, I just want to throw $1,000 at this and just like really just bury this.
That's all they've been bitching about too. And they got it. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. But not pre-announced, known.
That's true.
And so like, who knows? Anyway, there's 102%. It reads pretty nice, you know, knowing that there's only 11 players in him, or it might be 12 now, whatever it is, it's paying out to fifth. And the, you know, the winner gets to take home a cool $460. So there's some cash on the line this weekend. Look out.
Very nice. No, I like that. Anything else in there that you've seen? jumping at him.
Just that obviously the glow round taking place, I believe, Friday night, is it not?
Yep. Probably when it weather dependent, I would imagine. But yeah, that'd be cool. I'll be around for that if it's not so wet and crappy.
And then there's also a bit of a dinner the other night. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a social dinner on the Saturday night at one of the pubs. I can't remember which one. And then I think the clubhouse is running, you know, some sort of food and bevvies all day, every day of the event. So that should be good fun.
The only other thing that I'll say that'll help us segue into the ratings conversation is that the beautiful hole three that you were just talking about will play as a par four. That is a 280-meter par four for MPO, MP40, and MA1. For everyone else, it will play as a 280-meter par five.
Yeah. What do you think of that? I didn't really see that coming. I don't know why we need it, but I'm not mad at it. Like, it doesn't bother me because I'm in MA1, but what did you think of that? It doesn't really change anything because, everyone's score is going to be whatever it's going to be. But do you think it needed to be par five for the lower divisions?
Yeah, it doesn't. I've got no opinion on that, really, to be honest. The only nice thing about it is it does, similar to what happened at Crater, it does just automatically split the field when it comes to ratings calculations. So it just forces that issue. It was going to be brutal as a par four, particularly for some of those lower divisions. They're going to be getting double digits on a par four.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
All right. So let's have a look at it. How do we introduce this? We started looking into this after we heard the tee off stuff, and then we ran into Timmy B on the course, and then you and I started talking about what happens, whether the AMs drag the pros down, and then, what would be the consequences of splitting the divisions. And then we went in a bit of a rabbit hole about what happens with people who enter a tournament with no division, stuff like that, right? And then you sort of looked into how it all works, like what characteristics or what goes into making the ratings what they are for people, and then what would happen if we did split divisions.
Yeah, that's a good intro. And one of the other things we spoke about as well was the zero rating system. And it's something that we've spoken about previously on the pod. And that's you and I, we're going backwards and forwards on exactly what this zero rating system was. And it's something I've looked at in the past. And without going into every event, because I don't have the time for that, I just quickly chucked in the 2024 Vic Open to share with you again what I mean by a zero rating system. So the zero rating system is they take the average rating of every player within the event. But when I talk about that, I'm actually talking about propagators, but I don't want to get too lost in the weeds there just yet. And whatever the average rating of the pool is, it spits out the exact same average. Okay, so 100 players go in with an average of 850. They all score whatever they score. It'll spit out with another average of 850. What actually happened at the Vic Open was they came in with an average of 879.8. And after all rounds, all three rounds were said and done, and I calculate the average of every single one of those rounds, the average is to exactly the one decimal place, 879.8 yet again. Fully highlighting that the goal is to be a zero rating system.
And then so essentially you mentioned the propagators. They're people that have played a certain amount of eight rounds or something like that. So basically you've cemented your rating as something that is essentially your level.
And it's not volatile. And to help with that, it has to be above 700. There's no such thing as a propagator, no matter how many rounds they've played, if their rating is below 700.
So then basically to make the numbers work out, everyone who isn't a propagator or doesn't have a rating coming in, let's say there's 15 of them in the tournament, they take that average, times it by 15, add that into the amount of total points, and then that gets divided by everyone in the end, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So,
And in Vic Open, like, it just shook out perfectly.
Yeah, but it normally doesn't be perfect, but it'll be thereabouts.
You're always there, thereabouts, which I'll get into right now. Before I circle back to what we started to notice about what happened to the pros and what happened to the AMs at a group of events that I've decided to study, but essentially we've discovered a pattern. So at Queensland Open in 2024, they came in with a total average of 873. At the end of the event, there was an average of 870. So it just changed by 3 rating points. Again, pretty close to just zeroing out. At 2022 Nationals, so I was restricted on what I could look at here because I didn't want to look at the events where we've started to split the pools. So I had to go back to 2022 Nationals in Queensland when everyone was there. We came in with an average of 882. We left with an average of 884. So just a change of 2. Crater Lakes, this is where the pools were split and we see a massive shift. We came in with all of players not split, we came in with an average of 849. We left with an average of 838, a change of 11.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's unheard of compared to any other event. So Ruffy was 896 to 898, a change of 2. I looked at some random European one-day event. not a one-day event. I wanted to look at like what happens if it's just a one-round event. A one-round event, there was an 895 in, 900 out. And then I've also started to look at the Vic Open this year. So just to foreshadow a little bit here with the Vic Open, all players, all propagators are coming in with an average of 871, but we now know that we are split. The pro pool, which I'm going to call it, which is MPO, MP40, and MA1, they've actually got an average of 933 across the 31 players. So pretty huge average, 933. The AM pool have an average of 848.
Okay. Yeah, wow.
So under 850, which is a pretty low average.
And so what we're looking to shake out basically is, most of the tournaments we've seen, once you split the AMs and the pros of what their pre-event average ratings were, and then their post-event, not their ratings, but their round ratings, in most events we had seen that the AMs had gained some of that average and the pros had lost some. So basically the AMs were stealing pros rating points, right?
Correct. That's the trend. So starting at 2024 Vic Open, they pros went down by 1, an average of 936 down to 935, but the AMs managed to go up like 1.5 from 852 to 854. Jumping over to Queensland, this is an exception to the rule. And Alan, you have a theory on that. But at what happened at Queensland was the pros went up by a couple from 947 to 949, and the AMs went down by 1 from 845 to 844. And what was your knowledge around the 2024 Queensland Open?
Before you looked into that one, I said if there's going to be one that bucks the trend, I think it'd be that one. And if anyone remembers either playing it or listening to the pod when I was up there, to me, it really struck me as a genuine pros course. So there was a lot of distance, but including was like a lot of out of bounds and a lot of early trouble. So holes really hurt the AMs harder than they hurt the pros. Like pros were going out of bounds as well, but they might be much further up to the basket. So, and there was a lot of, not a lot, but there was some forced carries. There was some decision-making, stuff like that. Like I went pretty hard on the Queensland Open setup, but the course I was pretty glowing with on its design. And I thought it was very much a pros course. So it does seem to have shaken out that way that the pros have stolen some of the AMs points for that. So it is kind of course dependent then on how this shakes out. But most courses that we play would be more AM friendly than pro friendly courses, right?
Yes, and I'll try my best to explain why the maths behind what's happening there in a second. But I'll just jump to 2022 Nationals. Pros gave away an average of 5. They went from 944 to 939. So that Nationals just absolutely slaughtered the pros. and the AMs went up by 4. Crater Lakes, remembering that they just separated, the Pros didn't lose any. The Pros actually gained 2, and the AMs in that scenario lost an average of 10.
Wow, that's crazy. The Crater – oh, yeah, keep going.
Ruffy Rumble, Pros lost nearly 10 at Ruffy Rumble from 9.56 down to 9.45, and the AMs went from an average of 8.75 up to an average of 8.83, so a gain of 8. Even the random European event, the Pros went down by 3, the AMs went up by 1. And that is where my research stopped, but the trend being that Pros are giving points away to AMs.
And then so, you know, we could say, all right, it's a good idea to split the division so we're not stealing from the Pros, but for all the people that would be like, you know, fuck the Pros, what's the theory behind on why this is happening and so why it was probably a good idea to split divisions?
Yeah. So I'll just do my best to do the maths for a second here. So what they do is they take the propagator's average pre-event. So we know what that is going into the event, and I can tell you what that is for the Vic Open, for example. We're all going in the pro field with an average of 933. What they then do post-event is they take the average score of all the propagators. And whatever that average score is, that score gets given the average rating for the group of propagators.
Okay.
So if the average score is 70 and the average rating was 900, whoever shoots 70 gets a rating of 900 for that day.
Gotcha.
And then it's just, as we know, plus or minus 10 or plus or minus 9 for every other stroke. Now, what they'll be doing in regards to, like, as we've seen, sometimes it's 9 points, sometimes it's 8 points, sometimes it's 8.7 points, 8.5 points. It's different every event, and it's hard to zoom in on that, but it would just come down to the standard deviation of the results. So depending on the spread of the results, it probably influences how they then say, okay, it's going to be 10 per stroke, 9 per stroke, or 8 per stroke for this event.
Gotcha.
But it's pretty simple. If you've got an average of 900 – and the average score was 70. Well, whoever scores 70, they're going to get an average of 900.
And then, so what? We're kind of thinking that the, you know, the pros or, you know, the higher up divisions will sort of be less volatile, so more accurate.
Exactly. So, what ends up happening is the pros are way more. They play way more in line with their rating for a couple of reasons, and the AMs do not. There's a couple of things involved with this as well. Because it's not perfectly evenly distributed, looking at the Vic Open, for example, with an average of 871, there's actually like 62 players that have a propagators who have a rating less than that, and only 50-odd who have a rating higher than that. Because it's not perfectly evenly distributed, it's not the median, it's the mean that they use. You also just automatically have more chumps than you do champs.
Yeah.
Then the chumps, they're just shooting all over the shop. So when they shake out the average, you've got a bunch of chumps who have outperformed themselves because they're improving as players.
Yeah.
And you've got less pros that have done it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because there would be, you know, in the lower divisions, there are a lot of people that are just about, that's how they play most of the time, but there are also a lot of people that are on their way up to higher divisions.
Correct.
The difference between 850 and 900 would probably be one of the biggest jumpers going around, I'd imagine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah, you've got a field of people that have the potential to sort of play above where they're listed versus a field that, doesn't often do that.
Correct.
So if we do split them and we have the pros and the AMs with different layouts, it's super easy to do in terms of the admin side for the tournaments. That takes 2 seconds, so it's not, you know, it's not like it's hard work for the TD. What would be the pros and cons for that? So like we're basically making it more fair for, you know, the pros or the more consistent players. Are we making it unfair then for the AMs, or not unfair, but like, is it going to hurt some of the growth that we've we have been seeing over the last years with AMS, do you think?
Time will tell. Mm. We have such a small sample size on that in Australia at the moment, being Crater Lakes. And I've said how the average for the crater at Crater dipped by a chunk, how by nearly 10 from 832 down to 822. But that doesn't mean someone like Benedict O'Byrne, who found himself in that group, didn't score really, really well out of that weekend. It all just comes down to how much you can separate yourself from the average score. So let's talk about this in a week's time once we've got the Vic Open in the pool. If the AMS are taking a massive hit again, it might be that case. But as long as the players that are, like you just described, like as long as the, you know, historically the Kalins of the world or the Marcus Davies of the world or historically like the Penn Lues of the world who are clearly just like, you know, exponentially growing, as long as it doesn't kill their growth or stunt their growth too much, I think this might be a way forward.
I agree. I think that's something that should just be pretty standard now, at least on the bigger tournaments. So what we've seen with the Crater Lakes Classic, can we put that down? Because there was about a 20 rating point disparity, right, between par of the AM pool and par of the pro pool. And to me, that just sounds ridiculous. And I personally would just chalk that down to the tiny sample size, because the pros for Crater Lakes Classic were
nine players.
And so I'd reached out to Nath Parrish, who played the event, and he said that basically they all played round one trash. So it wouldn't even take all. If there was like a few of them, like if there's three people that played terrible, like that heavily affects the ratings in a nine-person field.
Yeah, huge.
So for mine, the volatility is way too high. Like if we're trying to make it a system that is less volatile and more standardized, I don't know. I do know that having a nine-person field is a bad idea. So it worked out really well for the pros, but I just don't think that was a very accurate representation of what the rounds probably should have been that day. So I would have thought for the Crater Lakes Classic that only had, you know, like I said, nine, maybe if you added an MA1 into that and short up the field a bit, that it would be a bit more, uniform across the board. But I don't think that splitting pros and AMs in every tournament is a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Small sample size makes it really, really hard. That is also very sound mathematics. Let's talk a little bit about this weekend and the predictions that we've made. So we've predicted that even would be around 935. And we've been saying that for a couple of weeks. Not everyone agrees with this, but a few people have agreed with us when we've bumped into them on the course.
I will say that I did the math. I took, I had one really bad round out of my six. If I've thrown that in the bin and I add up all the rest of them and then take the average, it ends up being that I shot, I can't remember, it was an average of like two or three over par. Ish, 2 points something maybe. And I'm 925 rated. I feel like that's a little inflated. So if you bump it down to 920, it gets like, it puts par to pretty close to 935.
It checks out.
It checks out.
So before I knew we were splitting, I found that we had a propagator average of 871. For 935 to become true, what that would mean is I would need the average score to be 7.5 strokes above par. Sorry, 7.1 strokes above par, 7 above par. So I then started to coin a barometer. I don't know if I'm using that word correctly, but I was like, cool, do we have anyone that's roughly 871 rated, and what do we think they'll score? In the pool, we're very much lucky to have Kyle Herbertson, who is 870 rated. So he's a perfect barometer. If he shoots, if we think that he's good for a plus seven around that track, again, that confirms that 935 is probably right. How do you think Kyle Herbo might go?
About that.
Exactly. Now that I know that we're split, let's look at the pros. The pros have an average of 933.3, and we again we said that we think even it'd be 935. So the difference between 933 and 935 is negligible. So what we're talking about is that the average disc golfer in that pro pool will shoot even. Do we happen to have anyone rated around 933? We are very lucky. We have two players. We have Nathan Parrish and we have Chris Scott. Obviously, straight up, I fucking ignored Nathan Parrish.
Because he's been playing great.
He's about 980 rated. Yeah. So fuck him. And I looked at Chris Scott instead. Do we think Chris Scott is good for about an even around that track?
Yeah. Honestly, if he will finish the weekend somewhere around that for sure.
Yeah. It just like is so sound.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, they're good. The 935 prediction's looking pretty good. In the AM pool, it could shake out that like, and Matt Hill just quizzed this, won't there be no difference? Like, won't it just shake out the same? And that's similar to what we experienced down at the Tassie Nationals, is it not?
Yeah. When we compared the days that had similar weather conditions, when it was the AM weekend and the pro weekend, they were very similar ratings. And I think even when we looked at things like Raffy Rumble, Melbourne Celebrates, and when we could compare like for like, they were pretty similar.
Okay. Well, in the AM pool this weekend, what we're looking at is an average of 848, which for even to shake out at 935, we're talking about 9.6, so 9 to 10 over par.
Wow.
Do I have anyone rated around 848? I go for a scroll and I find two players. Bucket Farina on 849 and David Wood also on 849. So just slightly above that. Given that it was 9.6, let's just call it 9 strokes. If Bucket's Farina and David Wood, as our barometers, shoot around 9 over, then again, even in the AM pool, will shake out at 935.
What stands out to me so much there, though, was the difference between the overall one and then once you've separated them. So that was about two strokes. Right? We had it at 7?
Yes.
Or something like that, 7 point something, and then 9.5. So that's wild. Mm-hmm. I guess that just shows that the system ain't perfect then.
Yeah. It's closer to 3 strokes. It's 7.1 and then 9.66. But yeah, 2 to 3 strokes.
Yeah, wow. So then the pars probably will not end up rating the same. They'll end up being pretty decently off. So this could be a big difference between splitting the divisions or not splitting them.
Well, do you think Matt Farina is good for a 9 over around that track?
Who knows? Who knows what Matty Faz is doing?
or David Wood.
No, I they're definitely going to be in that ballpark.
Yeah, they could be. They could also be in the plus 15 park.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here comes my bombshell. I can't wait for post-weekend, but I think splitting at a course like Bendigo might fuck the pros.
Mm.
Like we saw at Queensland being the one exception to the rule, what you articulated about Queensland was distance and danger. Bendigo lacks danger. I 100% appreciate that. Bendigo does lack danger, and maybe it's just because I'm a pure noodle arm at the moment, but I just do think there's enough distance there that if it wasn't split, the pros, to use that inverted commas again, could absolutely pull away from everyone else's score and therefore do really well from a ratings perspective.
Gotcha. So you're talking that the AMS weekend or AMS field, their par might end up being more in the 940 something to the 950.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, that'd be crazy. All right, well, I'm super interested to see how all this shakes out. And it's once you put that math into it, it shows that if they were to be the same when you split the divisions, then they can't be. They're several strokes different. It's very, very interesting. So that's weird. I don't really know how I stand on that then. If it is going to be standard that like a pro par and an am par are like 10, 15 rating points difference, then I don't know how I feel about that anymore.
Yeah.
That's weird. So definitely one to watch. I thought this was great. I don't know. We might have lost a lot of listeners, but I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think we're guaranteed to have lost a lot of listeners.
But that was, yeah, really informative, and I'm very interested to see now, yeah, how they're going to compare. Because I thought maybe the anomaly being Crater Lakes was the small sample size, but once you've done that math and shown that the, you know, if par is going to be 935 for both, it was three strokes different to then when it was combined to when it was split. That's big. That's the 20 something difference that the Crater Lakes was. So, wild. All right, is that it? Is that it for that, or we got 10 more minutes on it?
No. if people want, like, if people want us to split off, like, Talking Trilogy and just have, like, a Talking's rating podcast, hit us up. We'll start with episode one at some point, and we'll just have a dedicated ratings algorithm podcast. Happy to get going on that. I've really loved it.
Yeah, your spreadsheet's great. It's good. Chris has got so many more events that we didn't talk about. So the spreadsheet's good. He's got it broken down really well. So anyone who's a full data nerd, if you want, just hit Chris up and he'll set it through.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a look at the Vic Open then, and have a look at some predictions. We've got 135 players in a beautiful Bendigo weekend. It won't rain. we've got a few very small divisions we won't too hard into, but MA4, do we see anything that we like in MA4? It's always hard to pick a winner out of that mess, but what are you thinking?
David Wood is on the up and up. Josh Quinn had a pretty sad league day, discovered.
We're not touching him.
Ross Davies had a pretty good league day. So
forehand friendly course, and the man likes his forehands.
But who I've got my keen eye, absolute keen eye on in MA4 is none other than MA2 himself, Mr. Wayne Govan.
I thought you might jump all over that. That's good. I tell you what, who I've got my eye on. What do you think is going to be the hot round of MA4 for the weekend?
The hot round?
Yeah.
Well, I love that David Wood's sitting at the top of that, and I said that he might shoot a +9. I think the hot round for MA4 will be a +7.
Yeah, well, Ash Brookers on UDIS reckons he went around in a +3.
Boah!
There's some questions. We're going to go through it. There's some questionable you discourse.
Wow.
On here. Some people that I've never lost to on a social day ever are shooting well better than I shoot. But so that's where my money's gone on Ash B. You shoot three plus threes and you win it by 12 strokes.
Comfortable.
So that's where I'm at.
Nice.
MA3, big division, 22. Is that our biggest? Probably. MA3. This is the tournament of chumps, the Vic Open. I love it. Nicholas Marks from South Australia sitting at the top of the ratings there with Ash Wiedner and Chu Tran right up their ass. So what are we looking at there, you think? Who are you liking?
Chu's taking this down with a bullet.
I think he's got he throws the trail as well. I've thrown that on every hole. So if he can throw that half decent. Well, I think he's the one to watch as well. What's his? He's the same as Ash Brooker, +3. Yeah. That's his name on the leaderboard. I like that.
Yeah.
One that I've seen, where is it? Is Moosey. Yeah, so Moosey's there as well. Moosey apparently went round even.
Okay.
He didn't.
Look out.
You shoot an even, Moosey. I don't know. I'll give you a free throwler shirt. Nice. You shoot it even on the weekend. You get a free throwler shirt from me.
Good deal.
So yeah, you just says he's the one to watch, but I reckon yeah, I'm with you on Chu. What do we got in MA2? I don't know how we can go past Jankow, can we?
I'm trying to tell you, he's pretty good.
Can he win two majors this year already before you even get halfway through the year?
I think he can. I think he can.
He's a power thrower. There's no way any of those dudes in MA2 throw as far as he does, and you need distance on that course. And his forehand, when I was playing him the other week, was nice. And it's a very forehand-friendly course. So I think he comfortably takes it.
Is Mitch Evans sitting on that UDIS leaderboard?
He sure is. So he's a smoky at plus one.
Look out.
Mitch Evans. I've only shot one better than that ever. But Mitchie's there at plus one. So yeah, he's a smoky as well. But yeah, my money would be on Tommy J.
Yeah.
What do we got? MA50. The old man's had to pull out, which is a bit sad.
Sad face.
Yeah, he's working. So, no good. Josh Conroy from ACT is up at the top of the leaderboard with the ratings. But I think I've got my eye on Cranny. He's got himself a neg one on the UDisc leaderboard. And that, I believe, all day, every day.
Oh, so do I. I was there when he casually birdied 18.
I tell you, who in the field do you think has a better UD score than him at the moment, though?
Oh, it'd probably be Doug Adams.
Doug Adams with an egg two.
What a guess.
You looking at it, you prick?
No, I'm not. I'm absolutely not. That was just a pure guess.
I think Dougie's been out there a bit, and last I spoke to him, he was just looking about how he takes par on almost every hole. So if he's managed to figure out a lot of pars out there and can snag a couple of those birdies, then bang, neg two, that'll be doing plenty. That'll be a spicy, spicy battle.
Well, you must be on holidays at the moment. You have done so much research.
I've got nothing going on. No, I always love checking out the UDS leaderboards leading up to the event because they're always bullshit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I remember it all goes back to, who's that Ballarat kid?
Yeah.
What was his name? Was it Kyle? No.
I can't remember. Yeah. But shot like 100 under at Invalid.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it all began.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. But no, I think it's going to be a tight one. Nicholas Hall is good from ACT and Ken Sling. So, but obviously Cranny for sure looking good in that. Doug, if he can be sneaky, Eamesy. I think this is going to be a good one. I think this is going to be a real good
Alex
one.
Alex Evans is good for popping off.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know much about Josh Conroy. So, Carey's there. Big forehands from Carey. Got to be dangerous. MA50 is going to be a very exciting division to watch, I think.
And a bit of a precursor to the big dog the week after.
Indeed. Indeed. Mm. In MA40, that's going to be a nice battle division as well. Your future division. Which one of these guys would be taking second place to you if you were playing?
Which one of these guys? Jay Ross.
I was looking at Jay too. I like his power, and it's going to be a bit windy. I think he'd be throwing a few of them destroyers out there and looking nice. Ryan Nicholson will be on feature card round one. Big pressure there, so we'll see how that shakes out. Glenn Maisie, Taron, a lot of rollers maybe.
Mm.
If Taron can throw some rollers and hit some C2 putts, he'll be right in the mix. I think my money will go down on Jay.
Yeah, good. We're basically the same people at this stage.
I know, right? It's getting creepy.
Have you seen those twins that went viral again yesterday?
No.
Listeners would have seen them. A couple of crazy people from Queensland responding to an interview that just talk in sync. This is basically you and me at this point.
That's wild. I like it. FA1, this is tight. We're going to have Georgia, Anita, and Claire Bruton facing off. And man, how do you split them? I think what I've got, and Georgia the local too, so she's probably been out there a bit, or local enough anyway. And Anita on the feature card day one. So will that pressure produce diamonds, or will it produce coal, you think?
Great question. Diamonds.
I like it. Yeah, I'll back Anita in as well.
Let's go.
MA1, this is gonna be sick. I'm very looking forward to this. I'm gonna win, apparently. Timmy B is tipped me.
he has not been following UDisc.
Yeah, he's silly. Yeah, exactly. Before we get to that, like, I love Dylan on the tee off when they did some word association for some reason.
Yes, they did.
When they said MA4, he mentioned my name. But I'm not even beating any of the MA4 guys on the UDisc leaderboard. So he's right.
That's right. Hey, the best thing about any of that Dylan shit talk, though, was he guaranteed you a free beer.
Yeah, I don't know why. He shouldn't have done that. I thought it was funny. But,
definitely hit him up on that.
Yeah, I won't turn him down. I'm just glad he was thinking about me.
Yeah.
But yeah, MA1, it is going to be spicy, spicy. So don't ignore the name Michael Gleese at the bottom. No rating, just because he has not paid up for this year. But he was 940-something with a few rounds and has been for the last couple of years high 930. So well in the mix. He's a power guy. I feel like he's got a really nice forehand as well. Do not sleep on Gleese. But, man, Penn's got some distance now. I was playing with him the other day. God, he throws far. His forehand's gotten so good. He's also dubbed himself top five forehand in Australia.
Nice.
But it's good, man. He's throwing forehands real far. Liam Brundelli Brondex, he is popping in. Benedict O'Byrne, last year's Vic Open winner. And Matt Hill, who could be a 970 or could be a 920. We don't know.
There's another sleeper in there, at least another sleeper in there.
Oh, like I'm getting that. Chris Scott for sure. Kalen, who is just firing. That's probably the end of the list. But even Cam.
Camille.
Yeah, Cam's been playing great. Every time we've gone out there, he's under par.
Lefty course. Yeah.
Yeah, he's shooting 2-3 under every single time. There's a bit going on. This is a hard one to pick. I'm going to just pick the same person I pick every time, I guess. Penn. I'm getting sick of it, though. I'm really getting sick of it. But if you got to make me pick, that's who I'll have to pick.
I'm backing in Matt Hill.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure that man nearly got past Nemando on 3 off the tee.
Oh, gross. Oh, Jesus. Did he remember that there's drivers and not just make out threes?
I don't know, but like...
Shit, that's so far away.
He's throwing so far.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if he's doing anything like he used to be doing, then he'll win it easily.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, I'm just going to come ninth, I guess.
Yeah, that's my question. Can you make top 8?
No. I can't. I know I can't. I've been out there playing. I'll be lucky if I get one of my rounds under par.
Yeah.
So I'll be finishing the event, if I play well, like 5 over.
Yeah.
That'd be a good finish for me. But that won't do much. That'll put me dead set in under middle.
Yeah.
Shit. Not good. And I'm going to be in the pro one where the ratings are going to get smashed, you reckon. So that's great. This is going to be good. It's good for me.
Yeah.
MP40, Rubes is the absolute shark in the water there, coming off that very hot social day and him just being an absolute jet. But if I'm not mistaken, I think Mark Boland really tore it up at the Molong Cup that they just had.
Okay.
So he's in a bit of form. Apparently Timmy Ware has been putting in some time with Penn and has a very serviceable sidearm now. So I add that into his smooth putting and that smells danger. But yeah, I don't see anyone beating Rubes, but the battle for second is on.
Bring it in, Ding. You're right. Mark just took out the Molong Cup, so the race for second is on.
Who do you think gets it?
Ruben. The race for second?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Tim Ware.
Oh, no. I'm going to have to tip him too.
Yeah.
Yeah. If what Penn's saying is true, then I think we'll get it done. Mm-hmm. We actually have two FPOs. We've got Coop and Hussey. So I just don't think Hussey can be beat.
No.
So I think that'll be a nice little win there for Huss.
Yes.
And the big dogs, all six of them. The MPOs, who are you looking at?
Dylan Feldman.
Right? But, with a bullet or you think close?
Well, it depends on his sidearm. So
it doesn't have one. Assume he doesn't have one from what I'm hearing.
Then it's game on.
Okay.
Then it's game on. Not that I use it in many spots, but there's just a few spots where it's the safe, not only the safe, but also the birdie bet. You know, so that off the cliff hole and a couple of others, you know, Dylan's sidearm is like, it's the safe play and it's the birdie play. And if it's not there, the back end is tricky. So it absolutely brings into play just about everyone else. I'm keeping a very close eye on Ryan Michel.
Mm-hmm. Yep, shot very well there when we ran in. Oh, you weren't there for that one, were you?
Yeah,
I was. Oh, no, you were, yeah. He was shooting. He was an egg five or something round. Mm-hmm. Lefty, lots of power, so good course for him. Yeah, Blake Nichols too. He's got the big boy sidearm. Obviously, Ryan Hart throws it forever. Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be tough. There could be, especially with Parrish being playing so good lately, there could be a pretty decent mind the gap between 10 players and yourself. I'm hoping that's not the case, but I...
Thanks for pointing out just, the obvious.
Just
yes.
As we're having a bit of a look at it.
I could be needing a bit of Vaseline. Yes, you're right.
We'll see how we go.
Doesn't look great.
Well, who
doesn't look great for the Throllers boys this weekend.
I know, right? So outside of Dill, who do you think is going to be pushing him? Oh, we just did that.
Yeah, no, but my tip's Paddy Robinson.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That'd be good. That'd be nice for him to get one after a few years gap to add to the six or whatever they already has.
Yeah, it'd be a massive asterisk, though, if he gets it, because obviously... 11 because no one's there. Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a good one to win. Oh, nice. All right, we've been going on... for a minute. Good thing a lot of people are driving up to Bendigo tomorrow, so they got some. This is giving them some fodder. They'll be there before they know it if they just start listening.
Exactly. You're welcome.
We'll do a bit of Throllers Guarantee then on this weekend.
Yes, please.
I did not even a little bit look into this.
What have you been doing all day?
I don't know. I always forget about the Throllers Guarantee. Do you have anything you like?
Yeah, I do. Of course I do.
All right.
What will you give me for Ryan Michel to podium?
To podium. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like him as a smoky, but this it's totally like it's not even that. It's just it's thick. It's thick in that area. So I got to give you a good number, 100%, because Dill and Paddy need to be pretty high up there. And then other than that, it gets thick to podium. So finish top three. 8?
That's a very big number. All right, you got anything? You might have to come back.
I know, because I'm thinking about you when you go with like a not podium.
Yeah, I'm exactly. Fucked me.
Yeah, it's like I'm looking at like an 8.5. I'm honestly straddling the 8 and a 9. I couldn't justify a 7. The field's too, like, good, comparatively, you know, too consistent around himself. All right, what do we got then? I like a bit of a top half field. You're saying, can I make the top 8? Inspired me. Not to tip me, because I won't. I don't want to tip that I won't. but let's find someone a mid-range guy and see if they're going to end up finishing. How they're going to end up finishing, I reckon. Where have we got? Oh, MA50, so that's too hard. And the MA2s, I don't know enough of them. All right, I'll look into my division. So, I don't like it because I want it to me. But I don't want it to be. I'm not doing it. So what would you give me for Cam to finish in the top 8 of MA1? Camille Abratansky.
4. No, I want to say 3. I should have said 3. But hang on, how far? Because Michael's down there, so I'll include him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
The 16. Yeah.
Include Michael. I'm trying to count how many above him. Yeah, he's a 4 because I've seen him.
To and finish he's a lefty top?
To finish top,
yeah. So 6 would be bottom half.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, I'm going to have to take the 6.
Okay, Camille.
He doesn't. I know. I'm probably going to tip him in my tips, but I'm
100% tipping him in the tip 6. I'm 100% tipping him in the tip 6.
But I've just got to bank on a blowout.
All right. Cool. All right. Circle back up
Cam
to MPO.
Bottom 8. Yeah.
MPO for me. Tim Bowen, what will you give me for a podium?
Timmy B for a podium. All right. That's, less thick, but still got to be a decent number, I would think. I would say, is it 50-50 or am we in worse than that? Six? Six to podium. I think he's less likely to than not to.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm going to take the four.
Four, not podium.
Yep.
Gotcha. Don't love that, but...
Yeah, I'm playing the safe game
here. Don't love that, but that's all right.
I'm hoping Camille smokes it.
I know. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
All right, so Cam, bottom eight, and Timmy B, bottom whatever, not podium.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, sounds good. Have we got a bit of spotlight, not light to finish?
Yeah, I'd not prepped any. Had you?
No, I got nothing. I think we spoke so much about everything that...
how deep are we into this podcast?
Oh, forever.
All right. My spotlight is us and just doing doing preparation work. Excellent. We're legends.
Excellent. spotlight. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, just the keen to play the tourney. So that'll be my spotlight. My not light is... I do have a not light. Sent in by Picanti. I can't remember what it is. But I'll look it up real quick.
While you're looking it up, I'll go mine. My not light is the... I don't know how quite to word this, but I've had some players reach out for some coaching.
Mm.
And obviously my reputation precedes me. and I used to be somewhat... of a 960 rated disc golfer, but I am a 937 feels inflated at this point. And so my not light is to just general access to coaching around disc golf in Melbourne, in the Melbourne scene at the moment. David Perry is obviously our best coach and everyone says speaks really, really highly of him, but he's just a hard man to reach.
Mm. Well, he's over in... They're in the US at the moment. That's a bit rough time to call him out, but
just come home.
That's not this weekend, is it? Are we missing that?
No, it's next. That's next.
Yeah, cool. I thought so. All right. So then my not light is Picanti's been playing so shit lately that he's dropped out of Div A and is back into Div B. So he sent that in as a self not light.
It's trash. And wasn't he at Llewellyn and trash?
A million over, yeah. I think that's what did it. So he was at Llewellyn in Div A, and I think now he is no longer in Div A.
Yeah.
So self not light there. I like that. Another mention that not light parked rigging it so that I don't win, clearly. That's a not light. But a spotlight for the people who made it. So good job.
Yeah. Bring it on. How good's this? Vic Open Week. 100% payouts. Great course. Let's go.
Who wouldn't be here?
Who wouldn't be here?
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.